Hi, we return with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, August 11th. This is Ruth, and we'll turn now to some of the funeral notices that appear in the Decatur Herald and Review. Jordan Carl Kearns, 90, of Mount Zion, went to be with his Lord and Savior at 12:28 a.m. Wednesday, August 10th, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. A service to celebrate Jordan's life will be held at noon Saturday, August 13th, in the First Baptist Church in Mount Zion, with the pastor Tracy Smith officiating. Interment will be in the Old Stonington Cemetery, with military honors provided by the Macon County Honor Guard and the U.S. Navy Honors Team. Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Mount Zion is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorial donations in Jordan's name may be made to the First Baptist Church, Mount Zion. Mary I. Walsh, 95, of Forsyth, passed away at 4:07 p.m. on Tuesday, August 9th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital in Decatur. A service will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, August 12th, at the Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton, Illinois, with Steve Ingram officiating. Burial will follow at Pleasant Valley Cemetery in Kinney, Illinois. Visitation will be held on Friday, August 12th, from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Memorial donations in Mary's name may be directed to the South Shore Christian Church in Decatur. Tracy Lee Husky, 46, of Decatur, passed away. We don't have the date. A remembrance service of Trisha's life will be at 4 p.m. Saturday, August 13th, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Mount Zion, with the Reverend Tony Paulson officiating. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday evening from 5 until 8 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will be in the Harrison Township Cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Ames Sheldon Landrum, 44, of Decatur, passed away at 6:25 a.m. Sunday, August 7th, at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 13th, at Church of the Living God, PCT number 2, 1003 West Macon in Decatur, with visitation 1 hour prior to the service at the church. Burial will take place in Greenwood Cemetery in Decatur. Brittlinger and Earl Funeral Homes, Decatur, are assisting the family with the arrangements. David Allen Theobald left this world holding the hand of his the love of his life on August 8th. At David's request, there will not be a funeral service. A memorial, "Aren't You Glad You Got to Know Me" gathering will be held at MCT. I'm not sure what that is. At a later date. Oh, Midland Community Theater. I think that's in Midland, Texas, at a later date. His ashes will be buried in the columbarium at the Dallas-Fort Worth National Veterans Cemetery with military honors. In lieu of flowers, David requested more memorial donations be made to Midland Community Theater, 2000 West Wadley, Midland, Texas, 79705. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematorium. And again, I'm sure that's in Midland, Texas. Irby Lee Lappington of Henderson, Kentucky, 101 years old, passed away on August 8th at St. Anthony's Hospice Center in Henderson, Kentucky, with his family by his side. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, August 13th, at the Church of Christ in Beecher City, Illinois. The Reverend Gary Puryear will officiate. Visitation will be held from 9:30 a.m. until the time of service. Interment will be in Beecher City Cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. Anthony's Hospice Center of Henderson, Kentucky, Lockhart Green Funeral Home in Beecher City is assisting the family. Lillian Ray Bailey, age 73, died peacefully on August 7th with her children by her side. There will be a visitation at 1 p.m., followed by a 2 p.m. memorial service on Saturday, August 13th, at Moran and Goble Funeral Home, 2801 North Monroe Street in Decatur. Naomi J. Brandenburg, 89, of Milmine, that's terrible, I don't know, M-I-L-M-I-N-E, Illinois, passed away at 12:30 p.m. Sunday, August 7th, at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 13th, at Cerro Gordo United Methodist Church, with visitation 1 hour prior to the service. Burial will be in Bement Township Cemetery, Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Homes, Cerro Gordo, are assisting the family with the arrangements. Memorial donations may be made in Naomi's name to the Cerro Gordo United Methodist Church. Peggy Ann Riley, 81, of Decatur, died at 11:46 p.m. Saturday, August 6th, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. A graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, August 12th, at Harrison Township Cemetery, with visitation 1 hour before at St. John's Lutheran Church, 2727 North Union Street, Decatur, Illinois. Tanzius Logan Funeral Home, funeral service and care is in charge of the arrangements. Funeral arrangements are pending for Samuel Cooper, 61, of Decatur, who died on Monday, August 8th. The Walker Funeral Service and Chapel is handling those arrangements. Joan E. Kenny, 80, of Decatur, who died on Tuesday, August 9th. Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Homes in Decatur is in charge of those arrangements, and Kenneth M. Titus, 88, of Greenup, who died on Tuesday, August 9th. The Meyer Funeral Home in Greenup is working with the family on those arrangements. We turn now to the opinion page of the Decatur Herald and Review and begin with an editorial, which is their opinion in the form of an editorial. It carries the headline, State Should Reward Workers That Cut Costs. Whether you're teaching a task to a child, coaching a team, or leading a business, you see success sooner when you praise good work rather than punish a mistake. It's a common practice among successful businesses where rewards for ideas, cost savings, and teamwork come in the form of time off, gift cards, or a paycheck bonus. Governor Bruce Rauner wants to revive a dormant program that does just that for state workers. But, like a little kid who wants the cookie without cleaning his room, the state's largest union thinks the reward should be shared among all employees, not just those who do the work. That's the kind of thinking that has kept Illinois from reaching beyond the budget quagmire in which it has sat for years. As reported by the Herald and Review Springfield Bureau, Illinois has had a system in place since the mid-1980s that's designed to reward employees for cost-saving ideas. Through a body now called the State Government Suggestion Award Board, Illinois has received ideas that have saved more than $566,000 since 1993, according to the board's annual reports. But since at least 2008, when the board began taking suggestions from the public as well as state workers, it hasn't given out a cent, the Bureau reported. I'd love to give people 5% of every dollar they save with an idea, Rauner told the Illinois Chamber of Commerce earlier this year. That could be a lot. And boy, do our state employees have good ideas for saving money. They've got a ton. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation recently told its employees they would qualify for bonuses if they can save the state money while maintaining or improving service. There are a lot of I's to dot and T's to cross before the program can resume statewide, partly because of powerful unions that remain in a headlock with the administration over a variety of issues. Thus, the reward program is essentially on hold. Our union believes, as a general matter, that the best and the fairest way for workers and for the public interest alike is to distribute any pay increases fairly across the entire workforce, said Anders Lindahl, a spokesman for AFSCME Council 31, which represents 36,000 state workers, who said this to Herald and Review Capital Bureau Chief Dan Petrella. It's a dicey proposition, to be sure, to offer monetary rewards at a time when the state of Illinois is scraping its pocketbooks for pennies. But Rauner and other good business leaders know that you'll get better results from your employees if they know they are respected by their bosses and rewarded for going beyond expectations. Illinois government can't expect its employees to help make cuts and find efficiencies if their ideas aren't considered for rewards. Governor Rauner found great success as a businessman in the private sector. Illinois should consider some of his ideas if state leaders want to find similar success. Now we turn to your opinions in the form of letters to the editor. Our first one is signed by Jeff Bradshaw of Decatur. Celebration puts wealthy ahead of seniors. During the 38th special concert at the Decatur Celebration, I saw something I thought was really appalling. The organizers had fenced off the whole area in front of the stage for Decatur's wealthy to stand. These people, mostly young, were standing right in front of seniors and handicapped people, some with walkers and wheelchairs. They could not stand for a prolonged amount of time, and they could not see the performers. I believe our seniors and handicapped should come ahead of the young and wealthy. The organizers should be ashamed. A letter to the editor of the Decatur Herald and Review from Jeff Bradshaw of Decatur. And a very brief one-sentence letter from Thomas Krohn of Decatur. Krohn, K-R-O-H-N. Not a Trump supporter. Hillary Clinton could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone, and I would not vote for Donald J. Trump. A letter to the editor signed by Thomas Krohn of Decatur. We turn now to letters to the editor that appear in the Decatur Tribune. This one, written by Dan Weber of Mount Zion, scrapbook article stirs memories of Chaps Amusement Park. Dear Paul, your scrapbook article, August 3rd, sure stirred childhood memories. I seem to remember a small blue train at Chaps that was much smaller than Lil Rebel. The cars were about the width of a coaster wagon and open-topped. The engine had a diesel train appearance. Maybe others remember it, too. I remember the laughing lady standing at the entrance to the bingo building, or tent. That building is just left of the Ferris wheel in the picture on page 5. I also remember a Chaps Market on the northwest corner of Water and Garfield in the early 50s. It was always fun skating at the Chaps roller rink. I remember Hayes Freight Lines that you mentioned in that picture. I also remember Decatur Cartage Company just south of Hayes. The picture doesn't show it, so it must have come along a few years after the picture was taken. Hayes had green trucks and Decatur had red ones. Little boy's memories from the early 80s. I remember Dolan's Cafe in the Y, where Maine and Water came together across from Chaps. In the early 80s, a friend, John Hendricks, and I would go in there after delivering my Sunday H&R route and have a grilled sweet roll with lots of butter or breakfast sometimes. Does anyone remember the softball park behind and west of Chaps Amusement Park? We lived just south of there on Church Street, and on game night could see the lights and hear the cheers when someone got a hit or ran home. Keep the Tribunes coming, Paul. We love them. Dan Weber of Mount Zion. Our next letter to the editor is signed by John Duncan of Decatur, and it carries the headline, "More Wolf Should Never Be Elected to Position of Trust in City of Decatur." Whoa. Dear editor, if there is only one reason for Julie Moore Wolf to never be elected to or to ever be offered a position of trust and responsibility in the city of Decatur, it would be her participation in the firing of Chief of Police Brad Sweeney and her apparent support of Tim Gleason's very suspicious personal use of city resources. I would like to know how she feels about the ruination of a professional law enforcement officer's 20-year career, or the impact her decision has had on Brad Sweeney's psyche. How she feels about the harm she has inflicted on the Sweeney family. Has she talked to Gleason about his use of city resources? And why did she and the city council, with the exception of Bill Faber, sit sphinx-like through the whole fiasco instead of addressing such an important event? Miss Moore Wolf is Mr. Gleason's boss. Has she ever said something along the lines of, "Tim, we pay you a lot of money to manage the city of Decatur. When you travel on personal business, that is on your dime. Don't count on commandeering a police officer and a police vehicle to take you to the airport. Use your own car and pay the parking fees just like the little people who pay your salary do when they travel." Ooh, ouch, a letter to the editor signed by John Duncan of Decatur. Next letter is signed by Audrey Gray Sanner of Decatur. 1909 postcard stirred memories of Bernice Jones. Dear editor, your July 13th, 2016 edition had a 1909 postcard written by Bernice Jones. Bernice was married a year after she wrote the postcard to Truman Quintus Sanner of Moequa. Bernice grew up in Long Creek and graduated from Millikan University in 1902. She taught school and at some time was music teacher for the county schools, driving her horse and buggy to the different schools. She raised her 8 children in Mount Zion and taught piano to hundreds of students. Her son Jim and I were married in 1946, and she still had 50 students coming to her home for lessons. The card was written to Nellie Armstrong. I knew her as Nellie Grindel, and Nellie and my mother-in-law remained good friends. She told me that Bernice had been her teacher. Bernice died in 1982. Many thanks to your newspaper and for keeping our histories alive. Again, a letter to the editor, signed by Audrey Gray Sanner of Decatur. And finally, a letter signed by Sandy Leish of Babes, Program Coordinator of Dove Incorporated. And it carries the headline, Babes Coordinator Thanks Exelon for Support. Dear Editor, as Program Coordinator of Dove Incorporated Babes Beginning Awareness Basic Education Studies Program, I would like to thank Exelon Generation Clinton Power Station for their continuing support of providing a valuable community service by printing materials used by students and letters to parents about the BABES program. These classroom materials reinforce the lessons taught by dedicated volunteers during the six-week program. There's a note in the Decatur Herald and Review about a bit of a change in their management, and it carries the headline, Fletcher Named H&R General Manager. Joel Fletcher has been promoted to Advertising Director, General Manager of the Decatur Herald and Review. I'm incredibly excited about this opportunity. We have a tremendous team of people at the Herald and Review who work together to deliver a top-shelf product every day, said Fletcher, who has been with the newspaper since 2006. Fletcher will retain his advertising duties in addition to being responsible for production and operation at the Decatur plant. He also will lead the Herald and Review's involvement in the Decatur community. He replaces Gary Sawyer, who retired after 15 years as editor of the Herald and Review. Since 2014, Sawyer served as editor and general manager. I am so pleased Joel agreed to accept this position, said Julie Bechtel, publisher of the Herald and Review. He brings so much energy to everything he does and will be a great ambassador for the Herald and Review through his community involvement. Fletcher moved to Decatur in 1987. He was general manager of the Cromwell Group from 1990 to 1999 and general manager of Next Media Group, now Newhoff Media, before joining the Herald and Review. Decatur is our home. I love this community and all the positive partnerships it offers. I'm really looking forward to increasing our involvement throughout the area, Fletcher said. It also was announced Wednesday that managing editor Scott Perry will serve as interim editor. A search for Sawyer's newsroom replacement is underway. In a brief article, we've got a couple briefs here that might be of interest. The Legion Bird Run, the second Sons of the American Legion Bird Run, will be held on Saturday, August 13th. Registration will be at 11 a.m. at the Cerro Gordo American Legion Post 117, and the cost is $10. The event will include auction items, 50-50, not sure what that is, prizes and food. Proceeds will benefit the Shackelford family, whose twins, Nash and Zeke, were born December 26th at 30 weeks after their mother had been put on bed rest and unable to work. Zeke is healthy, but Nash could not breathe on his own, and while he is at home, he has a tracheotomy, a feeding tube, is on oxygen and requires home nursing services. The event began last year in memory of Brad Bird Larrick, who died in July 2015. The proceeds that year went to Larrick's family, and his widow, Kelly, said the plan is to have the event annually, with a family chosen each year based on need. And 3D animal archery, Rock Springs Conservation Area is presenting 3D animal archery from 5 to 7 p.m. on Saturday, August 13th. Participants ages 10 and up will rotate through life-size targets featuring deer, bears, turkey, and more. All equipment will be provided, though participants are welcome to bring their own. Basic instruction is provided for new or less experienced archers. The event, which is $7 per person, will meet at Homestead Prairie Farm in Rock Springs Conservation Area. Pre-register online by noon on Friday, that's tomorrow, August 12th, at www.maconcountyconservation.org. Finally, we're going to pick up a quick piece by Bonette Beckett. Lincoln Square Theater recruiting volunteers. In preparation for their 100th anniversary, the Lincoln Square Theater Board is looking for some help. October is going to be a busy month, Board Vice President Jake Bonette said. The theater is inviting potential volunteers to join them during their scheduled events and shows. A meeting will be held at 4 p.m. Sunday, August 14th, in the lobby. Participants will be allowed a question and answer session after the hour-long meeting. According to the theater's website, volunteers are utilized in all areas of the theater business. Opportunities include typical theater jobs, including ushers, janitors, and concession cashiers, to more detailed responsibilities such as makeup artists and prop and costumes coordinators. We don't want them to view it as work, Bonette said. 9 theater board members make up the current list of volunteers, with one extra person called upon when needed. We have a lot of people saying they would like to help, but then they can't for some reason, Bonette said. That's why we created the meeting. The meeting will cover the responsibilities and requirements of theater volunteers. The board will also discuss what is expected for the theater to run smoothly. Bonette understands the help he gets will be appreciated. We don't require a certain amount of time for them to work, he said. If they want, they could come in after they see a movie and clean. Another reason for the need for volunteers is so the board will know what positions will be covered for each event, including movies, plays, or entertainment acts. The board is looking for volunteers who are dedicated and responsible. Bonette has found people who love the theater work well, and those that have an appreciation of the building and its historical value, he said. If you are interested in this, come to the meeting Sunday, August 14th at 4 p.m. at the Lincoln Square Theater lobby, and hear what kind of jobs they would like assistance with. Well, this has been Ruth McCauley reading news from the Decatur area for Thursday, August 11th. We're almost halfway through the month. How is that possible? Summer moves right along. School starts, I guess, next week. So the summer is about over. But I'll be back next week, God willing, and the river don't rise. I hope you all have a great week, and we'll be back then. Until then, y'all take care.